Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Every Tuesday, I leave this open for public discussions on issues of concern in and out of the criminal justice arena, and allow others to come on to talk about anything and everything that they are experiencing, that they are aware of and want to expose, that they are in need of, whatever the case may be. It is an opportunity to have your voices heard and your opinions. I want you to join us to provide feedback, as everyone's voice matters. If you have a loved one that is incarcerated and facing all kinds of oppression or abuses, violations, abuses, deprivations, provocations, harassment, torment, torture, whatever the case may be. If you have issues on the outside in the communities, and yes, even if you've been a victim of any offense, I welcome you to come on to talk about it. We have people incarcerated at an alarming rate of currently around 200, I will say 2.3 million in prisons, in jails, in houses of corrections. We have people who have been wrongfully convicted. We have people who have been victims before becoming offenders, first-time offenders, all who are receiving life and life without parole sentencing, many in other states receiving the death penalty, only to find out years later or even months later that they were innocent all the time. We need to look at this criminal justice arena. We need to look at all the abuses that are occurring by people in uniforms with titles in law enforcement and the penal system. We need to look at judgmental members of society who know nothing about the individuals being accused, who know nothing about the victims, but yet judging rather than remaining neutral and trying to understand the causes of offenses and those who have been affected on both sides. I remember there was a case involving a young man who committed a first offense, firing one shot 30 years ago at a time when he was severely depressed. In the newspaper, it mentioned that two good families were affected by a tragedy, only to later not say anything about it, but condemning an offender without looking into both sides, without trying to understand what caused the event. We need to look at it. We need to look at every situation in every prison situation. We need to look at the offenders, but also look at the causes. Maryam Jacobs, who will be interviewed tomorrow, a psychosocial therapist from the Netherlands, has dug deeply into so many things. You can find her in Deeper Justice on Facebook, because what she talks about is not about the victim, is not about the offender, it's not about the crime itself, but it's about the causes behind crime. We have people in prison, both good and bad. As it talks about all the time, good and evil in this world. As it mentions in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness in high places in this world. We're wrestling against spirits. It's something that we cannot do on our own. Many have been affected by the evil, and many are evil. There is a difference in mass incarceration. There are many incarcerated who do not belong in prison. There are many who belong in long-term residential treatment facilities, long-term mental health treatment facilities, long-term addiction, substance abuse facilities. We have to look at even the youth, gang members. How did it start? It started with no role models. It started with no one caring, no emotions at all for those who were seeking help, reaching out to anyone who would listen, reaching out to anyone who could give some solid, appropriate advice. Many did not have any of that. Many of them did not have role models. Many of them did not have anyone that cared. Everyone too busy socializing or too busy being out on their own as parents, doing their own drugs and alcohol, not being there for their children, friends giving wrong advice, poor peer association, members of society that thought they were so righteous, they were too good for these people they saw doing wrong, too good for these people out in the streets, not knowing what was in the hearts of those people. Let me tell you something, audience. No matter what our social status, no matter how high we climb that ladder, no matter how successful we become, we are no better than those that we are looking down upon. Does anyone know about cultures? Do all of these highly educated congressional leaders or governmental leaders, or any of them, educated enough to know about all the cultures that they are leading, that they are representing? No, they don't know. And these are educated government officials. These are well-known and wealthy people in society. You don't know about cultures, because if you did, you would know, first of all, cultures is not about races only. Cultures are in your own family. Because even in the homes, even in the families, no one is the same. Everyone has a different culture. Everyone has a different way of thinking, a different way of acting, different needs, different strengths, different weaknesses. We are in a society today that people do not understand. Cultures are about where you were brought up, the environment that you were in. Many of us were blessed to be in well-to-do, prominent communities. Many in the countries, being vulnerable to those in the cities. Many of them being born in ghettos, in poverty-stricken areas, while others are being brought up in well-to-do neighborhoods in the city, suburban. Many having money that they did not have to work for, handed down to them on a silver platter by their distant relatives, by their ancestors, by their parents, their extended family members, while others struggled not only to survive, but struggled to do the right things in life, struggling, working at an early age, doing everything they could to prevent being like a lot of their peers or the people around them who were involved in drugs and alcohol, losers, many struggling to go to school, many struggling to graduate from high school, many struggling to go to college, working their way up, struggling their way up, while their friends are out there partying, people wanting them to go out and party with them. Even relationships, saying that she found the person boring because he didn't like to party. He only wanted to watch TV. Well, I'll tell you, when someone has free time, when I have any free time, which is very, very little, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to watch TV. But what are we watching? We're watching world news. We're watching national news. We're watching what's going on in our communities. Watching TV does not just mean that we're watching TV to be watching game shows, comedies, drama. Because let me tell you, drama is what causes a lot of people to stumble too. Because what they do, the producers of movies, what they do is they bring out movies that they produce from the blood, sweat, and tears of people actually experiencing traumatic experiences. They produce movies about wars. How many of us have lost loved ones in wars? Loved ones trying to serve their country, which is not about serving our country, because this country was the safest of all countries. No weapons at one time could even reach the United States. But yet our government leaders were too busy trying to be big shots, sending troops, innocent men and women, to other countries to fight their battles, only to find out that we lost so many of our own. Even to this day, while our country, the United States of America, is being deprived of appropriate leadership, while we are right now going through some real economic crisis financially, not just a few, not just those in the ghettos, not just those in the cities, poverty-stricken areas, but citizens of the United States, average citizens, people all over, even some of these big shot corporations are talking about their own corporations being at risk of going into inflation, economy crisis. We need to look at cultures, the way children are raised, because some of us raise our children to be the best they can while remaining humble, while showing compassion, understanding, while trying to help others, while feeling the pain of others. And unfortunately, some of our children get sucked into the evil when they end up with somebody that was not raised properly. It came from a prominent background. It came from a family that's corrupt, deceptive, liars. These kids grow up to be just the opposite of what we want our children to be like. And as a result, our vulnerable children stumble. But because many are connected through their corruption and deception, they are able to influence others, their own peers, to do evil to those that they do not know. We need to look at a lot of these individuals in these prisons, mass incarceration, what they are going through unnecessarily. This is not God's doing. What they are going through, many of these incarcerated individuals are going through, is oppression by the evil. There are different kinds of spirits. There's a Holy Spirit, the good spirit, caring, compassionate spirit. And there's the spirit of evil, not only to do evil, but to influence others to do evil. They go after the weak. The case of Jesus the Christ in this, when in with this world, was healing those that were possessed, freeing them of all the evil spirits that entered their bodies. We have to look at a lot of these things. Cultures. Many of these people incarcerated didn't ask to be brought up, to be born and raised in the ghettos, in the poverty-stricken areas of the cities. They didn't ask. They weren't born with the intention of ending up in prison. But when we are not there to give them the support they need, when we are not there to they're going to reach out to anyone that will listen to them, anyone that can understand their pain. And who might that be? Others going through the same thing. Others going through the same pain. Connecting with one another. Supporting one another. Claiming to have one another's back. But these are all people in the same situation, feeling the same anger, feeling the same frustration, feeling the same hurt. So there's still no role models there for these gangs now. And then when you hear pastors calling them thugs, somebody that claims to be of God, someone that wears the cloth, that claims to be teaching love, compassion, understanding, mercy, forgiveness, somebody that continues to preach in the churches and on the televisions to those that can afford to pay all these tithings. The Bible never mentioned anything about money being for tithing, 10% of whatever someone has. When I traveled, the 11 third world countries I traveled, I was in all kinds of churches. And most of those churches, their tithing, especially from people who couldn't afford monies, their tithing was baked bread. People marching down the aisle with baked breads as their tithing. What kind of society are we living in the United States of America? United but yet so divided. Representatives of every country yet talks about sending immigrants back because they don't belong here. What kind of country is this? And I'll tell you, for all the righteous that are doing nothing but judging, hating, gossiping, for all the so-called righteous people, remember that Jesus told a prisoner on the cross that that prisoner would be with him in paradise. But if that prisoner was not on the cross, what would you be telling that prisoner? How would you be judging that prisoner? What would you be doing for that prisoner? I say all this to let you know, let all of you know, that you may not be behind the prison walls, but if you hate, if you have hatred for people you do not know, whether they're behind the walls or outside of those walls, you better think twice about where you're going to be going beyond this system of things. If you're from a wealthy environment and you've gotten away with the injustices because of who you are or who you know, think about it. Where are they and you going to be going beyond this system of things? Even if you don't, even if people do not believe in the Christ Jesus, even if you don't believe in it, believe this. Common sense will tell anyone. We do have a creator. This world was created. We were created. Whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Christian, whether you are a Jewish, all the same, we were all created. We were all created by one God. Some may call that God Abba. Some may call that God Allah. Some may call that God Jehovah. Some even call on the Christ Jesus himself, which Jesus himself told everybody. He was not God. He was the Son of God. And if everyone thinks about it, we are all children of God. The Christ Jesus was the first to die and be resurrected. He was the first of all of us. When God created the earth in Genesis, read it. He said, let us make man in our image. He made men and women to create sons and daughters. We have been created in his image because he has a son. And he looks at all of us as being his sons and daughters. God would never, in a million years, turn his back on the incarcerated if they were seeking out and asking him to forgive them. God would never turn his back on prisoners behind those prison walls who have been wrongfully convicted because of a biased culture of society members who put themselves above God to judge, who put themselves above God to think that they can take away all the God-given rights of the incarcerated population or others outside, who put themselves above God to give outrageous sentences to those wrongfully convicted, victims who became offenders, first-time offenders. Remember how God forgave murderers. Paul the Apostle, who was Saul at first, persecuted and killed many Christians. And yet God used him in a big way. Paul did not remain in prison for life and life without parole, nor did Moses, nor did King David. God used them outside of those prison walls. And for you who only believe in the five books of the Bible, for you who only believe an eye for an eye, there's many who believe the way you did. There's many who were once believers of only the five books of the Bible. And yet, now they say, after the Christ Jesus was crucified, after he was beaten, after he was assaulted bitterly by prison guards, after he was whipped to the point where the skin on his back was peeling off, after he had thorns put on his head, causing his head to bleed, after he was put in prison, after he was judged by a society and the Jewish at the time who wanted him crucified, now you find on the television by rabbis or by people of that culture calling him the Jewish Jesus, when at the time of his crucifixion did not even want them to put on his cross King of the Jews. Who is judging the Jewish people? The very people who the Jewish people at times are judging. The Caucasian races trying to get rid of and make America great again. Trying to get rid of people of color. The blacks, the browns, the beige, the red. Including the Jewish too. Who made you? Who made you God? Who made you and put you in charge to tell who of God's creation can stay and who can be destroyed? We have to look at ourselves and we have to look at the various cultures. God created a rainbow after the flood to let Noah know, to let us all know, that whenever we see the rainbow, that's just a reminder to let us know this world will never be destroyed by flood again. But God did say the next time this world is destroyed is going to be by fire. It also says that the world is going to be destroyed by fire as it was by flood, because God was so disappointed in his sons and daughters. He was so disappointed in all the evil that was taking place in the perfect paradise he initially created If you look around you, you see some of the beauty still left. When you look up at the sky and see the beautiful blue heavens, you see the white clouds, you see the beautiful green tree, flowers. You see all these things. But yet there's many people that are not looking at the same thing we're looking at. What we're looking at, what we are looking at is what we are looking at. What others are looking at is the people of color, other people who are disabled, other people who are poor, and those who are in prison. No one trying to find out what happened. I have quoted scriptures that I had hoped people would look up in the Bible. And you can buy it. You can buy a Bible in a dollar store. But look up these scriptures, Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. It tells us why there's so much evil going on in this world. Revelations chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. And people that don't believe that this world will ever come to its end because it hasn't, nothing's happened in all these years. For those of you who believe in that, look in the Bible, the same Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Look at these scriptures because I'd like to have your feedback on it when you get through reading and meditating on it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Matthew chapter 16, when it talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees questioning Jesus the Christ, expecting him to mess up in his answers, and asking him what the signs would be from heaven about the last days, the destruction. And the Christ Jesus answered and said to them, when it's evening, we can see that the weather will be fair, for the sky is red. In the morning, if it's going to be bad weather, we can tell by the sky. And then he says, you hypocrites, discern the face of the sky. We can discern the face of the sky. We can tell when the weather's going to be bad just by looking at the signs. The clouds, the darkness. Sometimes it's getting ready to rain, we can tell. We can tell when there's going to be a big storm. But we cannot tell the signs of the time. When we read these scriptures, you'll see what the signs of the time are. God's people were put in prison, many of them, because they were trying to do the godly things, or they were trying to preach the godly things. Now, you hear what I just said? Some were trying to do the godly things, while others were trying to preach and do the godly things. We have people in prison who are trying to do the godly things who ended up in prison because they were deceived. They were lied to and deceived. And as God's children, we're very, very vulnerable. We're vulnerable when it comes to many things. We think everyone is like us. But we forget not everybody is like us. There's a lot of people out there that are schemers, scammers, manipulators. And we trust them because we don't want to think that they can be liars and deceptive. We don't want to believe that they can be corrupt. Now look at our government. We're learning the hard way. We're seeing the Democrats and the Republicans at arms. We're seeing them going back and forth, not agreeing to anything. And these are people who was supposed to be taking care of all of us, the whole country. We're seeing all these things happen. We're learning the hard way. And it's sad, because when you're a person with a heart for others, as well as yourself and your own family, it hurts to see all the lies, deception, frustration, especially when it starts to affect you and your loved ones. We have a caller, 323. Do you want to state your name, please?
Leona, how are you? This is
Joe.
How have you been?
I'm doing good. You know something, Joe? I've been thinking a lot of you because I said, where is Joe? He's always coming on the show to say something, and I haven't heard from you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. As a matter of fact, I was thinking the same thing. I was looking for you last week, but I kept coming up with Eddie Jones, and I kept coming up with the Indigenous Voices. I never saw your show, so I guess I just wasn't looking at the right time. How have you been?
Good. There were a couple of days that I didn't do anything. You know, sometimes you get burnt out. You feel like sometimes you're just talking to the wind because people complain in this country a lot. There's so many things that they have to talk about, but yet when they have an opportunity to tell it to the world, they kind of like back away.
Well, you know what I've experienced? There are so many people in Blog Talk Radio who do like to express themselves. But when they start complaining about politics and they say, well, we need a solution. We need to do this. And when you try to get them together, they just don't do it. I've given up on the people on Blog Talk Radio when it comes to politics and trying to find solutions.
You know, I was watching just before I turned got into the show, I was watching the news. And I'll tell you, I am so disgusted because years ago, people used to watch Father Knows Best and the Donna Reed Show. They used to watch Leave It to Beaver. They used to watch the Wagon Train. Now you turn the TV on, and it's not just once in a while, but it's every single day. And I'm so tired of hearing about this January 6th committee. Either shit or get off the pot. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the way I believe in things. And what's happening is it's over and over and over again. And all it's done in this country has caused so much frustration and anger amongst people. With the coronavirus, with this whole thing going on in Ukraine and Russia, with all this stuff on the committee for this insurrection, with all the political division, with all the crime that's going up, you know, with the economy, everything is so frustrating and so disgusting. I don't even like to turn the TV on now anymore.
I threw my TV out years ago. I don't watch the news. I get my news off the internet. That way I don't have to hear people talk about it. Plus, when I go on talk show, people like to talk about it. But that's kind of a restricted environment. The thing is that all of these distractions and all of these trials and tribulations that we as Americans are facing, it's being shoved in our faces on purpose in order to distract us from what the real enemy is. So, you know, people better get you. People should wake up, but they're not. You know, that's the whole thing. People aren't going to get satisfied until they get slapped in the face.
You know, I wouldn't watch the world news myself or whatever, but one of the things I will say, and people might not agree with me, but I've always been a person that's been very, very interested in religion, and I've always been a person interested in cultures and races, and I find everything that's happening now, I compare it with the biblical scriptures, and anybody can go in the Bible and look at the same verses that I put out there, and they can see what's happening now, and it was even predicted in 2 Peter. It was talked about. People may not think it's ever going to happen because nothing's happened in all these thousands of years, but they say, they remind us of the flood, which has been confirmed. And they say the next time will never be by flood. It would be by fire. And we're in that time right now with this global warming, the earth at its hottest peak, or going to be at its hottest peak, the wars and the rumors of wars, Ukraine and Russia, and now all countries coming together for that great day of the Armageddon. Even Biden, without even knowing what he was saying, Biden said something about the Armageddon of nuclear weapons or something one time, and his party tried to clear it up. But that word that came from him was not coming from him because he wanted to just say it. That was a message to us that this Armageddon is coming. This final war is going to be coming, and I truly believe in it.
Well, if it does come, I hope that it comes and it ends quickly. if ICBMs are going to be headed our way towards the United States, and if they, blow up any cities, I hope that it's done in a millisecond and that I get vaporized very quickly. If we do have like a limited nuclear war, that's the worst thing that can happen. Because let's say, for example, China bombs Taiwan, right? Or Russia bombs the Ukraine. What happens is that if no other country retaliates, then those countries that are bombed, they're going to experience nuclear winter. They're going to shove their nuclear fallout up into the stratosphere. It'll be flowing around the Earth. And people will die of cancer and of other illnesses, which mysteriously have never appeared before, but which will be appearing as a result of the radiation, and it'll be a slow, tortuous death. So I'd rather just have the missile hit me as opposed to knowing that some sort of atomic cloud is coming my way. And, and people say, well, you have to prepare for it. Well, I don't think you can prepare for atomic fallout. Unless you go deep underground, and who wants to live under there?
We can't prepare for it. You know, people think they're going to change even the global warming. It's already been predicted. And it's not only going to be a minor world war, it's going to be a major. And not only that, but it says it's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was pretty, pretty bad. So we're going to be affected. Unfortunately, the world is going to be affected. And the first flood was because of the same thing. The sons and daughters of the Most High were doing so much dirt, so much wrong. They were doing the same thing. And what we're doing today, what we see happening today, is exactly what happened during the first flood, during the flood. You talk about the tornadoes, the earthquakes, the hurricanes. All of this is as a result of global warming. And as we can see, it's getting much, much worse than ever in lifetime. And it's going to get even worse. There's nothing that anybody can do about it right now. It says man will destroy man, and that's exactly what happened. Man has destroyed man, and now it's coming to its finale, and we're still not making enough sense out there to know that our time is running out really soon, and we have people out there across the border, across the pond, as well as in this country, who don't take lessons. You know, they're still disobedient. It's like being disobedient to the parents, and we've been so disobedient to our own parent, that he is finally taking charge. And he's bringing all of these countries together. He's causing all this destruction. And until we wake up, we don't have any hope. But we do have hope for something more perfect beyond this system of things. That's what we can look forward to.
Yeah, maybe.
It's sad.
It all depends.
You know, I've been studying, I've been involved in so many different religions because I am so tired of hearing people talk about other religions when their own has to be also repaired or restored or whatever, because they all think they have answers. Until they have gone, these religious leaders are no different than our government leaders. These religious leaders think they have all the answers when they are unwilling to sit down with other religions, other cultures, and extensively go over the Bible and go over what's happening in the world. They don't want to do that. So they're no different. They're about money. A lot of them are getting money from their parishioners, and that's why the prisons do not have the religious leaders in the prison, because the prisoners cannot afford these people who are preaching the so-called righteous word in the biblical scriptures.
I've always wanted to see a debate between Catholics and Protestants and Baptists and Methodists. I would have liked to see what the so-called scholars would have to say about certain passages in the Bible and have their different interpretations.
One of the things that people forget I was born and raised a Catholic. My mother and father were strict Catholics. We used to get up every morning, Sunday morning, have breakfast, go to church. My father would take us for the whole thing. But one of my brothers, Leo, went 4 years in the seminary, and he finally dropped out of the seminary after graduating from the seminary, went into the Air Force for 30 years. But the thing is, all the time that I was in the Catholic Church, the reason in my late 20s, 29, 30-something, I ended up venturing out to other religions because I wasn't learning anything. We didn't open Bibles in the church, in the Catholic Church. We listened to a couple of scriptures from the priest. The scripture of St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, a couple of gospels, and that was it. I made my first communion at Our Lady of Assumption in Osterville. I made my confirmation at Our Lady of Victory in Centerville. And my all these years, it was just, I wasn't learning enough. So I ventured out. I went to Pentecostal churches. But I saw that a lot of the falling out was not real. It was just a matter of a lot of loud talk and a lot of falling out. But at least I was learning about the Bible. Then I left there. I started with the Baptist church. I got involved with the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Seventh-day Adventist. All these churches. I've been in a mosque. I've been in a Jewish synagogue. I've been in all these things because I wanted to know. I was searching and seeking for truth. And one of the things is the truth is right in front of us, around us. If we are godly people, we're not going to want to hurt someone else. We're not going to be deceptive. We're not going to lie. Jesus, when he had the Last Supper with his disciples, before that day that he was crucified, he said this not to take away the Ten Commandments, but he said the two commandments, the two greatest commandments, was to believe in one God, which we all do. We all believe in one God, even the Muslims and the Jewish. But they have their Allah and they have their rabbis, the I Am.
Imam, they got the Imam and they have the rabbis, yeah.
But people don't realize, even with the Muslims, they say Allah. A lot of people think Allah is their God. My mother and my aunt were strict Catholics. They were Lebanese. But they were Roman Catholics. I mean, they were Catholics. And when they would talk on the phone or see each other, they always talked about Allah because that's the language of God in the Arabic language. People don't understand that, so they condemn the very God that they worship in the Catholic, Jewish, other churches. They're blaspheming. The same God that they don't know about because of the name is the same God that they worship by another name, practicing differently. The Jewish and the Muslims, they only believe in the first five books of the Bible. But now even a lot of the Jewish people, after the Christ Jesus was crucified and they didn't want him to even have King of the Jews on the cross. Now all of a sudden you have the Jewish Jesus. When I watch some of these biblical on Daystar and all that, they're talking about their Jewish Jesus. Well, their Jewish Jesus is now all of our Jewish Jesuses. But even Jesus himself said he was not God, which a lot of religions believe Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he's God himself, which is not true because Jesus kept telling people he was the Son of God. He said, no one knows the day nor the hour, not the angels nor the Son, but only the Father. So people are misled, and these people, religious leaders, they're taught by man. They're not taught by God. There's a lot. I've talked to pastors. I've quoted scriptures they didn't even know was in the Bible. How do you do something like that? How do you preach to people coming from a school of theology and not know some of these things that are being brought to your attention by just an ordinary person? We've got a lot of mistakes and errors in this world today that need to be resolved, and we don't have much time to resolve them. And while people are preaching about make America great again, make the world great again. Stop looking at the truth. We have people in prison who, they say in the Bible, lambs amongst the wolves. We have people. We have bad people and we have good people in prison. We have people who have been wrongfully convicted. We have people who were victims before becoming offenders. We have victims on the outside. But no one in society is willing to be neutral and try to understand both sides, to try to resolve issues, to feel bad for victims, but also know that there are other victims behind prison walls that they're condemning. We have to look at these things because we wouldn't want it to happen to us. And this is what's happening. We can't do it to others and expect ourselves not to go through it.
Well, have you contacted the Innocence Project to find out if they have affiliates or if they know of other associations that you can join or try to join together in order to strengthen some sort of union against people who are wrongfully convicted?
I have so much respect for Barry Sheck, but Barry Sheck is getting old and I'm sure worn out by now. I feel bad for the Innocence Project because they are the one organization, and also I believe it's the Cardoza Project that came from the Innocence Project, I believe that, those lawyers are exceedingly overwhelmed with the number of wrongful convictions in the prison. A lot of these law firms, including ACLU, which I have no respect for at all, ACLU should be working or trying to work with the Innocence Project as well. But ACLU is about money. I have contacted ACLU on many occasions, even in Pennsylvania, when three incarcerated individuals due to be released within 7 months to 2 years, all were seeking and crying out for help. And every time I called ACLU in Pennsylvania, they denied. They said they couldn't. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the monies, all this, while each one of them was alleged to have committed suicide. They were crying out for help because they were kept in a hole and they were being badly abused. Joe Kappa, Joe Holguin, and Clifford Finney, and the ACLU did absolutely nothing. They do the same thing in Massachusetts. So many people have requested help from them. But yet they will go abroad because that's where their money is coming from. NAACP, another one. They used to advocate for the incarcerated. And NAACP was started by a Jewish person, now run by blacks. But the thing is, they used to advocate strongly for the incarcerated. Now, because the money is in education, mainly around children, that's where all the focus is going with a lot of these law firms. A lot of them are going to help others less difficult. So where does that leave a lot of these people incarcerated? Now the lawyers have gotten to the point where they pick and choose. They want to pick the ones that are going to make them look good. And a lot of these lawyers that are before the media all the time, people mistaken them. People think because they're behind the media all the time that they are the ones that are doing all the work, when in fact a lot of them have their paralegals doing all the work for them. In some of these cases, prisoners have contacted some of these legal firms, and all they have gotten is the receptionist, or they have gotten someone that's in training or someone that's a paralegal to try to fight the work that they need lawyers for. I've been doing this for over 20 years, and I have gotten so familiar with a lot of these law firms who have denied incarcerated individuals the help that they need when they're being abused. Rights Behind Bars is another one. They claim to help those behind bars that are suffering, that are going through a lot of abuses.
I never heard of them.
They're new, but they're just like others. They will say one thing, their websites say one thing, but they do something totally different. And this is what we have to watch out for. We have to watch out for all these so-called popular lawyers and law firms. We have to go to their website, see what they're all about, and try to get help for them, for your clients, for some of your prisoners, and see what they tell you. We're living in a very deceptive, manipulative world.
Well, that's true, but without money, not much is going to get done. You either have to have money or you have to have a lot of people on your side in order to show some sort of clout.
Money is another thing.
So without even one.
Some lawyers will take all your money and do nothing. One lawyer took $4,500 to see a prisoner one time, brought a young Hispanic lawyer with him to take notes. $4,500 to meet with the client one time.
Now, a lot of these are... A lot of these lawyers, they're just mercenary. They're only thinking about billable hours. And I'm sure that they overcharge if they can get away with it. Yeah, people have to be very careful about what kind of lawyer, if you're going to get a lawyer, to represent you. A lot of times the lawyers that you hire, they're very chummy with the other lawyer. And I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that if I was a defendant.
Exactly. And that's what it is all about. It's all about... If you don't want a prisoner or prisoners to be represented, you just tell your peers, tell your colleagues, and they'll all deny, deny, deny. And then they wonder why suicides in the United States are so prevalent. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame. Another thing is exposure. This shedding light is to expose. Now we have, and I myself have a nephew that's a police officer on the Cape and one in Connecticut, but the one in Connecticut I don't associate with too often. But we have to look at them too, because there's a lot of good police officers and there's a lot of good correctional officers, and there's a lot of good prison officials, but they're hiding something that they know is very important to expose, and that is their colleagues who are doing just the opposite of what they're doing. So we wonder why so many police officers are hated and correctional officers and prison officials are hated by society, the members of society who actually know the truth, because they are too afraid to expose. And those
they'll get killed or blackmailed, but defamed. Sure.
Yeah, but no. I interviewed DJ Vodica, Donald J. Vodica, a 14-year veteran with the correctional office, the prison in California, one of the biggest prisons in the whole state. And he went against his peers who were doing the drugs, the corruption. He went against them. He exposed them. He wrote a book, The Green Wall. I consider him, and so many others, we consider him a hero. When they talk about police officers rescuing a dog or a cat or somebody rescuing a person that went on the job to do just that, they're not heroes. They took on that job. That's their responsibility. But when somebody in the prison system or somebody in the government that takes a risk to expose their peers who they see are doing bad, that's the hero. Donald J. Vodica. And look at Jeffrey Deskovic. He went to prison at the age of 16 or 17 for a crime he didn't commit. He spent all those years in prison. What did he do? He came out, and he's advocating for prisoners in New York. He went in at the age of 16 or 17. He's a grown man now. These are people that actually experienced. They did something about it.
Well, yeah. The people that I think are the most important people in the United States, especially today, are whistleblowers and investigative reporters.
Exactly.
Project Veritas. I like them because they actually expose what a person actually says, on camera. So people like that, they're the ones that, we should be looking at, because they're the ones that do take the risks. They could be killed or they could be incarcerated themselves.
Exactly.
Or Alex Jones. He's gotten what? He's got a $1 trillion settlement against him because he believed that the Sandy Hook incident was a setup. So even if he did believe that, what happened to a person's free speech? Aren't people allowed to have opinions? It's not like he's in the government and he can, influence people to do something because the law says so. He voiced opinions about Sandy Hook, and they gave him a $1 trillion judgment. So they're going after people who are, who speak up.
That's awful. It's just like with the 7-Eleven, the trade. When that was bombed by, they say bin Laden, but there was talk about that being an inside job from this country. And mm-hmm. It never went beyond that. But we don't know. We don't know the truth because a lot of people are covering up so much. The government covering up for UFOs all the time, these aliens. I watch, like I said, I get into all these things that I watch, realistic things, not garbage. But they talked about, it was a person that was in the army, actually saw the ship, saw the alien. They took that alien, they told them not to talk about it. They took them to this lab or whatever it was they were trying to dissect or do something with it. A nurse was talking about it. She walked in on it. They told them never to tell anybody. But these are all things that were coming out. There's so many things that are going on in our own world that we don't have a clue as to what it's all about.
Yeah, that's true.
Let me see.
Very, very true.
We have another caller, 404.
Okay.
Okay, Kimberly. We have Kimberly Biggs on the phone. Kimberly was an incarcerated individual at one time. And when she came out, I'm going to let you tell your story, Kim, but she came out and she started an organization to help others. And now she's running into some difficulty herself. So, Kim, do you want to tell your side? You want to tell your story to the audience?
Yes, you guys. Glad to be on, Ms. Fiona. I'm Kimberly Biggs. I founded From Prison to Purpose, which was started out with me, just kind of dictating, writing, and journaling about my life and the journey that it took me on, you know, after prison. And I just kind of like wrote a lot, you know, to kind of like feel, keep myself from going inside myself or losing myself, committing suicide or getting on drugs or prostituting and all of these things that was combated, you know, presented to me. I did, you know, face mental, I wasn't aware, you know, that I was, you know, just doing repeat trauma, you know, getting out, not having really family support at all, not having community support. And I was a big supporter in my community. I had a mortgage company. I lived well and I gift well to my community, to people of need or, you know, churches or family, just however it may be. And it's like everything spiraled for me, you know, it depleted at one when they did the mortgage fraud thing. You know, my family were big drug dealers. You know, it was just a big, you know, when you look at it, it was just ugly. And I was tired, you know, of always twisting and turning, watching your back, you know, just all of craziness. And it landed me, I did a bit in prison. I did a year at one facility and two, I had a 2-year bid at another one brought back in Mississippi. And having to regroup in Mississippi with no assistance, really, you know, you hear of like organizations that's out there, but if you're pretty proficient or you're not just real, you know, look to be dirty or homeless, you know, it's the red tape of the things that people don't understand that they do, or other, like, as far as returning people, you know, say, for instance, I would go to the community assistance office to say, hey, I need help with housing. You know, they look at me because of this clique mentality. Oh, yeah, that's Kim. You know, she had this, that, and the third. But now, you know, she up in here, the nerve of her to be up in here asking us for some money. You know, so I started working on a part that I could show people. So I made up a skit, me and a few people, to show, to do a presentation to people the way that they treat us. You know, the way that I was being, it was about me, you know, the way that I was being treated, you know, even with trying to get jobs. And I knew I was smart, very intelligent, you know, minority woman, optimistic, you know, willing to try again, always giving my best shot. But I just didn't let it deter me because I felt that I had to be all of these things, so to speak, to help the next woman or man that needed direction and not have to go through all the ugly things that I had to go through to get to a point. So I ended up doing a time writing, you know, and like really advocating outside to try to get myself some help. Or so I started the program From Prison to Purpose, which it offers reentry, you know, resources, housing, job readiness programs, things, all the things that from A to Z that a person returning would need to be self-sufficient completely, you know, from mental health to mediation with your family before coming home, you know, to kind of redirect them back into society, all of those things. And then I'm faced with, I can't pay the property. I ended up getting a family house. And I live alone. And so I started using the vacant rooms for people coming out, you know, that I had connected in this area with their family, with church, with jobs, with counseling, you know, group, you know, just keeping them, you know, working one-on-one with a few people until I could get funding to, you know, expand. And I didn't understand that the people didn't pay the taxes, and I was responsible, they said, for paying the taxes. And I ran into that problem, so I'm like, okay, I didn't find that out until just a month ago. And, you know, with the power, I'm always, like, with their children, you know, giving, you know, if somebody give a donation, we using everything we have, you know, to keep lights, keep functioning. And I know people are like, well, you can't get funding. Yeah, it's certain things you can get, but it's so many other people already receiving in small rural areas or you know, in a state that's receiving the funding already, that they just don't really look at as small people that actually do the work. And I, you know, applied for assistance for different things. And, of course, you know, we get denials and, you know, they say they don't tell us really why, or they'll just come up, well, you didn't provide us with this. I'm like, you never asked me to, you know, so I'll appeal it. We miss another waiting period. But in order for us to be more impactful, I just, for myself, I feel bad, not for me, but for the people that I'm trying, you know, that I am assisting. I won't even say trying, but the people that I do assist, you know, because as a person, I could just very well boot up and just become homeless again. You know, people have that mentality, but I don't. I just believe that, you know, we have to do what we have to do. And I didn't, you know, I didn't feel good about, you know, the GoFundMe stuff. So I did start a GoFundMe with Leona, the, some donations in, you know, to help us throughout. And then it's the holidays, you know, and I have people here who are really trying, who are really doing a good job with being steadfast and, you know, keeping, you know, the room. Sometimes we have little, you know, small disagreements about, you know, just say like the times that they have to be in or their children have to be in if they live in this house. But they understand discipline and the way that I wished that there were more things like that for me. And I just had to be the person that God chose to have to kind of walk through the valley to build this for somebody else. And I'm just at a place that I want to expand and do more because I have shared lived experiences, and I don't just sit behind a title to say, you know, what prison reentry is or what it looks like. I know firsthand, you know, what it looks, feels like to be homeless, not to have hope. And I got people here, you know, that I feel more for because, you know, where are they going to go? And what if, you know, I have all of these things that's going on. Like, what if they end up in a place that may cause her to relapse or cause her to go back, you know? And I'm just, I'm just really building. And I think I have support through Leona and, you know, a few other organizations that's trying to pull in to help us find resources. But getting the support, you know, that I need, that we can keep, you know, doing the things that I'm doing, helping the families here that are here until she can transition in April, which the first family will be coming out in April. The next family, I think, will come out in May. And then I'm hoping to be able to bring other families in and also look at, you know, getting another property that we can, you know, transition families into and just build from there, you know, and just know what it looks like to know that I overcame this point and I can, you know, be, you know, this would be just another thing to know, you know, that I'm just truthful about it. You know, I am chosen to do it and I am just here, you know, just to be a servant leader and a life changer. So I am from Prison of Purpose. I am a nonprofit organization that helps with disenfranchised people and people returning back into society and helping us to not, you know, reoccur, you know, continue to spiral, but to thrive and to be successful at that.
You know, there's a saying that goes, you can't help others unless you take care of business at home first. We have so many people that try to, even though they're struggling, they try to help others. And Kimberly had reached out to me because she was struggling, especially around this time of the year. But she touched my heart when she mentioned that she's on the verge of losing or being evicted because she hasn't been able to come up with her rent. So I recommended that maybe she start a GoFundMe page. So, Kimberly, why don't you let the audience know how they can get in contact with you to help in any way they can? Your contact information, even your website if you have one, whatever you might have that you want to share, please feel free to do so.
Yes, ma'am. I did start the GoFundMe page on yesterday, and it is from Prison to Purpose. I set the page up, but we do have email right now. The website is down because, again, you know, I had to kind of weigh out if I was going to, you know, get the water, leave the water on or pay, you know, for the website to continue. So we're just being faced with those type of challenges right now. And I'm doing some other donational things, trying to get some other creative things that we can get donations in, even for the Angel Tree part for the kids that I have in the house and a list of incarcerated people that I do service on the inside through pre-release group training, you know, with their children. So, but they can contact me at 404-386-5290. That is the telephone number where we're receiving calls. And then the email address is from prison to purpose MS, and that is for Mrs. at gmail.com. And the GoFundMe, again, is listed up under from prison to purpose. And that's pretty much all the contacts, you know, that I have, you know, right now at this point. But I can, like I said, we do have the GoFundMe. I did get it, you know, structured and set up. And we do have a, I want to say, a Square account with the organization. And it's also the Square account is up under from Prison to Purpose as well.
Okay. So how long have you been out now? You mentioned that earlier, Kimberly. Could you tell us again?
I've been out now myself 5 years. Well, this coming February will be 5 years exactly. And the struggle, I've learned, Miss Leona, that it wasn't for me, you know, because it just wasn't for me. All the things that I've had to encounter and endure, you know, it's kind of like the story of Job, honestly. Like, I, you know, I lived the life I had, you know, and I always deposited back, planted back into my community, you know, even communities surrounding where I did business. You know, I always would like to find, you know, the community to sow back into. And it kind of crushed my spirits at first, but then I had to understand that God was just using that, you know, for me to be able to reach and impact more lives by the lived experience. Because sometimes seeing is believing, you know, with people. And it's not even about those type of things for me, because I always been a giver. It's just I'm in a place that I had to grow and understand where it truly comes from and what it looks like to be someone that comes back, that people can look at, that already, you know, have been impactful in the community. But people think that, you know, we have to be the test. We, you know, we go through the test, but a lot of times people don't want to share the testament from it because of embarrassment or because of what people may think. But when I look at the people lives that I've changed, you know, I'm sitting up waiting for somebody to give me some grant money to open up a house when I'm in a 3-bedroom, you know, 3-bath home, you know, that someone just, you know, allowed me to be in and to use to do the organizational work, you know. But I had to keep the upkeep and take care of this tax because the house was just sitting abandoned, and I was like, let me use it, you know. So when I make those type of leaps, and, you know, it's just another part to see the work being done from supportive people, and that's what pushes me to continue to do the work, because I just know some way, somehow, that we're going to make it. You know, we're going to make it. This will be something that, you know, in our books that we can look at from the beginning and where, you know, we're going in direction. I mean, I look to do more in other states, you know, once, you know, everything is, you know, structured the way that it should, to have the support, you know, by doing the work. I've gone to Atlanta, you know, and did help with the voters registration, went out and knocked door to door for formerly incarcerated people to be registered to vote, you know. So I am just truly, you know, sincere about the work and seeing former incarcerated people honestly be given the second chance that they deserve, you know.
And so many do deserve a second chance. You know, one of the things I find is in all of the years I've advocated is that people come out of prison and they come out with so little, if anything, and it's so difficult to start anew. When you're able to start by helping others, it's almost like you're starting anew with nothing, but your intentions are good. We have so many people who have come out of prison, and the one thing that they go in for is rehabilitation. Unfortunately, because of the abuses that take place, the deprivations, the provocations, the harassments, the mental anguish, you know, all of these things, they don't get the rehabilitation. Many of them have to rehabilitate themselves. And that's when they find out that they have such gifts inside of them that they never really knew or appreciated. These are talents. These are talents and gifts that were given at birth prior to. But the gifts are, you know, to have a heart, to try to help others. So many people, when they're inside, not getting rehabilitated, they rehabilitate themselves by writing books, their poetry, their singing. They do all of these things. And then when they come out, they have to try their best to do something that's going to still help others while trying to help themselves. But they come out with nothing. And unfortunately, we don't have people on the outside that realize, because everyone thinks that the Department of Corrections across the country is providing everything, all the needs of all the prisoners, when in fact the funding that goes to the incarcerated, the overseers, the Department of Corrections around the country, most of that money is used on the staff. It's used on their staff. The prisoners get fed potatoes and rice to fatten them up so that they look like they're eating well. Well, if you notice, a lot of security guards, a lot of people in law enforcement now, they're not like they used to be. They're not healthy. They're all fat. They can't even run half the time. But we can see where the monies are going. And we can see how prisoners have to themselves rehabilitate themselves while trying to help others. And when they come out, they have nothing. So this is why I am so much to expose a lot of the injustices and ask for help for these people coming out of prison that are trying to do good, trying to do something with their life. We have another caller, Kimberly 909. Do you want to state your name, please?
This is Dr. Shirley Moore.
I'm sorry, we can hardly hear you.
This is Moore, Shirley Moore, Dr. Moore.
Dr. Moore, how are you, Shirley Moore?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say something to you. First of
please
all,
please do. Let me just try to turn the volume up a little bit because your voice is. Okay.
I know. Crazy poem, but anyway, I just wanted to say something. You see, a lot of things are on us because, you see, if you don't take my word, please go look up Chief Justice Rehnquist, his own PDF file. He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He told you that there is no law that we have normally volunteered to participate in the scam. You got people hollering about parent alienation. When I'm sitting here holding Gardner Singh that said that he made it up. But
can I ask you, Ms. Moore? Can I ask you a question? Are you from Pennsylvania?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay, because there was a Shirley Moore that worked for the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania. She was married to
I just wanted to say this. I wanted to say this to you. See, I'm holding, and I have another friend. That's why she gets angry. She doesn't come over. She's holding Richard Garner's thing, too. And you got people all the time hollering about, PNA, parent alienation. That's something he made up. But they use it as a way to make money. It's the same thing with these prisons. If people would go there and say, wait, there is no law, according to the Justice Roberts, but we just go right into their court because of a practicing pattern. Or that's what they said. Or that's what they believe. But everybody is an unknown name. They're unknown. So my thing is this. And I'm going to say this. I think it's time that the people stand and stop going with what they think or what they feel. We talk about, we're going to talk about the cigarette thing. Everybody, we want. You haven't won because what they just showed us was blatant discrimination. But we went along with it. Who is going to be affected more about if it's about cancer, and that's on every package, that it's smoking causes cancer? Why aren't all cigarettes banned? But no, it's only going to be the menthol that's affecting mainly African Americans and very, very, very poor whites or minorities for that matter. But I'm saying, so you haven't won. So that's what I wanted to say. And
you know, you're
right. They know the truth. And I just want to say this. As far as your people coming home and all this, they're coming home. Maxine Waters have told you. They're telling people, but people not paying attention. Why do you think she put a cap on how much each state's going to give? I think Mississippi is giving $50,000. California is giving $65,000 per wrongful eviction. All of them are wrongful, and she knows it. The first guy came out of Mississippi. He bought a home. They're already telling you, but we're still, I don't understand it.
You know what it is? We are our own worst enemies. That's where we can understand it. We complain about what the white man's doing to us, but we don't complain enough about what our own people are not doing for their own. And this is what really upsets me, because Kimberly Briggs is on the phone with us, Briggs, and she's on the phone with us. She has reached out to every organization she can in Mississippi for help, and she's been denied. So this is...
Well, why are you reaching out? I'm asking. Maxine Waters has told us. You got a black guy who just got out of prison in Mississippi, and he got $50,000 per year, and he bought a home. And bought him a car, and his wife, I guess, the lady he married when he came home, she's working, and she'll pay, I guess, the utilities or what have you. And everything's paid for. So what I'm saying, they've already told you we got you. But our thing is we're kind of like an instant. We want it to happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. We just got to wait. Like I always say, I believe that they take in the Bible and they're using it as a playbook. That's why they never give dates and times. And they never gave us a date nor a time. But they told us. And that tells you they're not going to give you $50 and $100 million for incarcerating you wrongly, but they're giving you more than enough where you can go and buy yourself something that gets more than you would have gotten had you been home, maybe. I don't know, but I'm just using. But I'm saying it gives you a start.
Well,
Dr.
Well,
Moore,
that's the thing where people just they don't know. Like you just said, I don't know. I'm just thinking that's a start. No one's given me anything. And I'm out here actively doing the work. I don't know, you know, how it works over there, but you, when you come out of Mississippi prison, you get $45.
No, 40,
in a check.
It's 50.
You get, well, when I came out. So,
they have the assumption
that people can just walk into these places that we can see registry where organizations are getting money, but those organizations don't necessarily, they might put it on paper what they get their money for, but they're not using it to do the work out here. It's just like me. They contract me to do reentry work. But they get $50,000. They may pay me $500 to do the work, and I work the whole year in a community for $500 a month. You know, so please don't over. I didn't talk when you were talking.
No, I'm asking you, how long have you been out?
He's asking you how long you've been out, Kimberly.
5 years. It'll be 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And I had to go through the struggle of lack, of nothing, knocking on different doors, and having the wind up under my feet to encourage me to trust that if that wind blow, I can't see it, but I can feel it. Ain't nobody gave me nothing.
Right. I understand it. And I'm going to tell you something if I can. this program just started. That's why I was asking you, how long has it been? She just
5 years.
I just got out. No, it has even been, it just started this year because the guy just got out of Mississippi.
But see, this is what I'm, I understand that. But
wait a minute,
Kimberly,
I want to say something to both of you. Okay, Dr. Moore, you said this man just came out and he started in this organization?
No, I didn't say it started. I said Maxine Waters, who's a congresswoman, she said that California is going to give $65,000, Mississippi's giving $50,000 per year that they've been wrongfully convicted, and he got it.
Oh, for that, that's
oh,
for the wrongful
conviction. She's talking about reparations. She's talking about reparations for people who are wrongfully convicted.
No, she's not. Because, you see, you all been wrongfully convicted. Because let me say this to you. You see, me and my friend, we went to the Library of Congress some years ago, and we pulled. Mm-hmm. Do you know, under the 15th, Title 15, that's used in all criminal cases, Title 15, in some instances they even did death, kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guess what? That none of those titles were ever validated. You know why? Because Congress was out of session. So how in the hell are they killing you? How are they using
right.
something that don't exist? But see, they know you didn't know.
Right.
How they've been doing
right. And that's exactly how a lot of people are stuck there. And even in Mississippi, they just changed the law with one of our client, one of my clients. She couldn't get a record.
No, it hasn't changed. It's just let me just say this to you. And I got to tell you this. It was a friend of mine. She was a Caucasian friend of mine. And I told her, I said, when you go in there, I said, this is a time my mother would say you could be dead right and dead wrong. I told her, please don't use this. And she let this friend of ours talk into her, and she had the paperwork. Do you know us? I'm talking about us. I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
black women. Oh, no,
mm-hmm.
no. That's against the law. That's against the law. Do you know that the bailiff beat this lady out of her bra? And she told me herself, she said, she know had she been black, she wouldn't be here to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. But I'm saying to you, they know there's no law.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's no law. But like you said, we run along with it.
Just like they're thinking right now.
Wait, everybody's against the UN. Well, the UN is telling you, and they told you. They say just because they put you up under a flag, that does not give them jurisdiction over you. And we right there along with it. Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of Caucasian friends too. But I'll say one thing: there's a lot of them out there that still have the mentality they did years, thousands of years ago when they used our own.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's a lot like you say, Dr. Moore. There's a lot of Caucasians that are telling you if it had been them, if they had been
mm-hmm.
black like us, they wouldn't be where they wouldn't be alive today. I was just watching with the Emmett Till case down in Mississippi. But
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Dr. Moore, you sound like you are either an attorney or you've learned a lot about the law throughout the years. And I would like to, if some point in time, I would like to have you and Kimberly Biggs connect so that you can talk outside
mm-hmm.
the radio. But I'm also going to have Kimberly back on in another week or so. So I'd like to have you both come back on again.
Okay.
And Dr. Moore, you can find me on Facebook, or you can find me on the internet. I have an email, NVO Press, like New Vision Organization President, NVOPress@gmail.com.
NVO.
Mm-hmm.
NVOPress@gmail.com.
Mhm. And yes, thank you for that information, Dr. Moore, because I will. And, you know, we do run into those, but in the immediate that, you know, that we have, you know, like they gave the money for rental assistance. We applied for the money. We got denied. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
and then
why?
Here it is, all of these people getting evicted because we didn't get the rent money. You know, it's hideous.
They don't know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Just like I'm going to show you something about the car here. They listen. I don't give a damn what nobody say. They listen. It's just us. We know everything. But I just want to tell you something. This is the truth. And I got to tell you this. They got everybody. You hate Russia. You hate China. That's because of what they say. But guess what I had to show everybody? They are a permanent member of the UN with us. And they have no provisions to get out. So basically, that's their sibling. They just got us, the people, angry because of what they say. So, and I know I'm a little different, and I can't think like that, you know. I realize now that the 5D can't think like the 3D because I know it's been an illusion. And that's why our friend, which I'm sure Lenora knows, that she gave up the ghost, Sally. She gave up the ghost, and then when I saw that Pastor Lindsey Williams, they didn't listen to him, and he lived with them. And there's no reason that we know everything. And then when you talk about reparations, I'm going to mention no reparations. Well, first of all, you're saying they brought you from Africa to here in the 1600s. You need to ask them what was this place, because we can see that America was not founded to the 1700s. So you know they could have been bringing you to America. That's why.
Exactly. It wasn't America.
People, why don't you ask them what was this land? They don't want to ask that. And I'm going to tell you what to do, because I don't want nobody to ever think it's me. Go look at the United States Secretary of Record, and you'll see what this place is. That I don't care what they taught you. It's all been an illusion, because they know we're weak. They're entertaining us. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just... Go ahead, Ms. Leona.
No, I was just going to say, Dr. Mustafa Ansari, he's a dean. I don't know if you know him. The dean of the Human Rights Human Rights Institute in Georgia. But he and there's been others in leadership that's actually trying to get all this to the United Nations, and you know, about the injustices going on in this country as far as a lot of things. But that's another one.
Let me tell you something. Do you remember Mary Neal?
Oh, I love you. You know, Mary Neal was my number one. She used to be on the radio show, and she actually helped me to get started with my own. But Mary Neal
Mary Neal, that's what it proved to us. It proved to you and I that they pick our leaders. It was her who was the one who, that's why you're now going to see social workers working with the police. That's why, because what did she do? She went after people, 90% of the people have mental illnesses. They go, that are incarcerated. So they're going to have to handle them different. And half the time when they're getting killed, a lot of these guys, they just need to take a medicine. But maybe the police aren't taught to, you know, cause they're not taught to be psychiatrists or what have you. And if you have a social worker say, listen, maybe you need to take some medicine or what have you, whatever they say, I don't know. And he takes the medicine that could save him a whole lot. And it was because of her.
We have an epidemic in this country of mental illnesses and also addictions, and this is what makes me so upset. I started a petition with change.org to abolish prisons with long-term residential treatment facilities, both mentally and addiction. And do you know, out of that whole entire petition, 2.3 people incarcerated in this country, there hasn't even been up to 700 signatures yet. Yet a lot of these families complain about their loved ones being in prison and being abused, but yet they cannot take the time out to even sign a petition, never mind make a call to their legislative members who are for criminal justice reform. Families Against Mandatory Minimums, FAM. FAM has been trying to encourage advocates, family members, prisoners, everybody, to encourage their politicians, their legislative members, to go into the prison, meet with the prisoners. Because how can you be for criminal justice reform if you don't even know what's going on in the prison? Because a lot of these politicians don't want to take the time to go in and meet with the prisoners. In Massachusetts, we have about 5 politicians that actually go into the prisons at least once or twice a year. but the rest of them don't have time. So how can you advocate for the reform of the criminal justice system when you don't even want to visit the prisoners? That's what we need to encourage these people in politics. We are out of time.
Can I make one more statement that you guys may not know?
Yes.
I know Ms. Viola seems to be writing a lot when I talk about we're being remanded back to the Constitutional Republic, meaning that there will not be any more prisons because the states can't afford to house them. Number two, that we're only going to the 10 amendments. That's what Obama always kept on his desk, unbeknownst to most people, the 10 amendments, meaning that a crime is only a crime against person, not property. What they did, they made a lot of the civil cases, they made them criminal. That's why you have so many poor people in the prisons. Okay, number three, it's for the people, by the people. So why are you going to be going to them to ask them to sit or to make more trips? You're the people. So, and you tell them. And every state's going to be operating differently because it's under the states. There'll be no more federal intervention. So, therefore, it's time that the people come together and you get a, what I would suggest is that you get a, like a map or something to show what people can click on it, blah, 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 and then they could see how, whatever your ills are, you know.
I want to say one last thing. Chinupa Guhamani, who is Sioux Indian out of South Dakota, he's also a big leader for his people as well. But Chinupa Guhamani has been trying to bring the blacks, browns, red, and beige together for a long time because of all the injustices being done. I invited Dr. Mustafa Ansari on the show one time. And he said something, and as soon as he said something, and Chinupa Guhamani said, I respectfully disagree with my brother, Dr. Mustafa Ansari hung up. He got off the show. I let him know I was pretty upset with him because I said he was also a guest. He had no business just dropping because he didn't like what was being said. Chinupa Guhamani respected Dr. Mustafa Ansari, but that's the problem with a lot of our people. They forget that they should be humble. If we're going to work together as brothers and sisters to try to resolve some of these issues in this country around racism and injustices, we need to work together. And no one is going to be in full agreement initially. So anybody that wants to come together, first of all, connect with Chinupa Guhamani because he is looking for brothers and sisters of all colors to work together with him. And I think if everybody does, they're going to find out that they will be able to support one another, all races coming together. This is the United States of America. This is the United States of America, but we're still divided because there's a population out there that still, to this day, has not accepted people of color.
Let me say this to you, and I just want you to think about it. You don't have to comment. You know what I think the next problem is going to be between the blacks and the Indians because we've been told a Native American, and they believe it because of what they've been told, and you're going to find out they're not Native American. It's been us.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, I have black in me, but I also have Indian in me, and most African Americans do have some Indian in them, especially the ones from North Carolina. But there's a lot of the Native Indians are starting to realize this is something that they've got to accept anyway because
they're going to have to accept it.
It's just like the whites. Nobody realizes it, but all DNA of all races came from Africa. So the whites, as much as they try to hate, a lot of the whites, as much as they try to hate people of color, they forget, and a lot of people have done their DNA, their ancestry, to find out that they have African blood in them, white as well.
Like I say, if you go, that's what I'm asking you right now. I'm going to ask everybody to go look at the United States Secretary of Record. They will tell you that this was Morocco. This whole count, this is Morocco. All Indian, this was North Africa. Now it's called North America. That's what they never told you. And I'm going to tell you something else I never told you about either. And that's Sultan, S-U-L-T-A-N. They're not going to tell you about him. Now, that's what you need to go. That's I'm going to put that up in your thing. You need to look that up. I'll send that to you. You see, that's why I've been asking everybody. I'm not a supporter of Trump. Even though I'm a Republican, I'm not a supporter. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Trump has tried to tell us. Nobody's listening. You better listen to both sides. And that's what I do. He told you. You better listen. Sultan, we are under the impression that Washington went to the White House. That's not true. He went to New York. That's where Sultan lived. Then he moved to Philadelphia. Then the White House. Then it caught on fire, and we know what happened after that. But the thing is this. There was everything started in New York. That's where the bankers started. New York. And they even talk about, this is what Obama read to the world. And they started calling him a Muslim. Everybody ignored him. This was, and now they talk about getting rid of the Muslims. We can't have Muslims here. When this was a Muslim country. Like I said, they have really lied to us. And the Bible tells you that he will throw confusion on you. Now, they already told you that his skin was like burned brass, hair like wool. Well, then why is it everywhere we go with the Caucasian people? I'm just asking. Nothing like the Bible. And I'm going to show you something. If anybody's in D.C. now, I know it's closed, but if you get an opportunity, go inside the religious part of the Library of Congress, and it will show you. We were given, I think it was 250-something or 30-something books or chapters of the Bible. Actually, it's 1,100. And there's nothing in there that says anything about slaves obey your master. Nothing.
You know what? One of the things is, I don't know if you ever heard of the African Hebrew Israelites. But
yeah,
if you know, even in Ethiopia, you got the you can see where the Jewish really are. But the thing is, a lot of the things that are talked about are totally different, because I was led to believe at one time the Jewish were of color. And if you think about
well,
where it all
begins, two different things. And I'm so happy you mentioned that.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna say, Shirley. My phone number is 781.
Okay. 781.
300. 8981.
Okay.
We have run out of time, and Kimberly, if you're available next Tuesday at the same time, I'd like to have you come back to talk about. To finish talking about what you started talking about too. And again, let the audience know real quickly how they can go to your GoFundMe page to help out in any way they can.
Okay. The GoFundMe
repeat
page.
The number one more time. 1-800-381.
No. Which one? Are you talking about the call-in number to the real show?
The one that you said the number is 1-800-381.
No, it's 781.
Oh, 781.
781-300.
Okay, 300. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
8981. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Kimberly, you want to give the audience your information again to the GoFundMe page?
Yes, it's From Prison to Purpose on GoFundMe, and then you'll see From Prison and Kimberly Biggs, and on our Square nonprofit organization account on Square, it's also From Prison to Purpose, and that phone contact is 404-386-5290. Again, that number is 404-386-5290. 1-800-273-8690. And the email address is from prisontopurposems@gmail.com. Thanks for having us.
Okay,
well,
now let
you.
Me ask you again. I said that phone number is
404-404-404.
Mm-hmm. 404. Mm-hmm. I got that.
3-386-5290.
Okay, because I was wondering, I'm going to send a donation in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, from prison to purpose. Wait, from prison to purpose is back. Dr. Moore, will you be on next week with us as well?
I sure will, and I am so sorry that I just found this. I wish I had found it earlier.
Well, Ms. Leona, make sure you get Dr. Moore's number.
I think this is important. Everybody needs to know that. There is there's two different things. Jewish, that's a religion, and a Jew is a nationality, and that's what a
I'm a Jew. Okay.
Nationality, meaning that anybody could be a Jewish person, black person, a brown person, a Caucasian person. Anybody could be go for the Jewish religion, but then the nationality, that means that's where you were born.
Exactly. A lot of people get that confused too. A lot of people think that the Jewish are the chosen, but it's like you say, it's the title of God's people.
Nationality.
Nationality, exactly. And we all are of God's. Kimberly Biggs from Prison to Purpose and Dr. Shirley Moore will be back with us next Tuesday, same time, to finish our conversation. Tomorrow we will be interviewing Marion Jacobs from the Netherlands, psychosocial therapist, to talk about the comparison between the U.S. and European countries around the penal system and other areas of injustices. Friday we will be interviewing Brian Winters, who was a politician out of Vermont, who is now the founder of an American Union, which does not take sides with either party, but will take sides with whatever causes are similar to the ones that we are fighting for. So we will be welcoming Brian Winters on Friday at 12, from 12 to 1, and Marion Jacobs tomorrow, Wednesday, from 1 to 2 o'clock, and that is Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you, girls, for being on. I look forward to both of you next Tuesday at 12
o'clock
Eastern Time. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.